I like this. It's quiet.
Yeah.
Are you gonna rap? What are you doing?
I have a wall.
Please don't rap.
I'm not. I've had one line stuck in my head because I have an unfortunate. I have a disorder where once I start making lyrics or verses of something,
no, just stop. Just stop there.
Yeah, I have to complete them.
You have a disorder.
All right, I'm gonna do a thing before we do the welcome. I'm gonna drop this in the chat for the whole world to see.
Okay.
I've already shared it with everyone on this call.
Drop it in the comments, and then let's do a dramatic reading for those listening later.
All right.
Yeah. If you watch the show live, you get nudes from Ryan. You're welcome.
What? You do have a disorder.
You know what? That's fine to say because this is the last full cast After Dark of the season, so there's no.
Yeah.
We're just bullying people into watching next year or
let it hang, just like Ryan in that photo.
God damn. All right.
God, dude.
Rod Gilmore. Is it fair to say one of the most conservative ESPN commentators when it comes to like football strategy?
Yes. Now that David Pollack is gone. Yes.
David Pollack is gone. Like every fourth down attempt, Rod Gilmore thinks is a bad idea. Every 2-point conversion, Rod Gilmore's like, you're going to want that back. Like,
If there's one button, he will find it and he will disapprove.
Rod Gilmore has 3 umbrellas in his car. I'm positive of it.
Mm-hmm. Suspenders and belt. 3rd and 2.
I think you just didn't take a knee here.
Take a knee and punt.
So that's why I'd like to read Rod Gilmore's prediction of what the committee does.
Now hold up. Every comic book is somebody's first, so we should probably whip off the mask here real quick.
What part of it?
Regarding Rod.
Okay, can you do that?
I think Spencer should do it.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, here's what you need to know. Rod in person is fucking awesome. He's the best. He's so good. He's so fun. He's not at all, like, everything he thinks about football has no correlation to what he would think about the rest of life. I hung out with him in the NASCAR Hall of Fame one night. He's a delight. He's a hoot.
It's like Rod played on the Stanford team that had the play against Cal. He was on that team. And he is also a practicing attorney in San Francisco. Like,
I did not know that.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
I sort of want to go to court now.
Rod Gilmore has lived a life, but this is his prediction of what the committee does. Number 1, Michigan. Number 2, Washington. Sure, fine. It's curveball time, folks. Number 3, Georgia. Number 4, Florida State. He said, assuming Florida State wins, they did. We'll get to that. Here is Rod's unassailable JD logic. I can't see the committee moving 7th, parentheses Texas, and 8th, parentheses Bama teams, into the top 4 and dropping previous number 1 Georgia outside the top 4. Those would be massive and unprecedented changes. I don't want to engage with whether or not Rod Gilmore is right, because let's just assume that he is, because he's smarter than we are. If Rod Gilmore is right, though, how fucking shell-shocked is the college football world about to be as they gear up for, should it be Texas over Bama? Should it be Bama over Texas? Should it be both of them over Florida State? Rod Gilmore says, Texas and Bama aren't relevant here. It's Georgia time, baby.
So I have a lot of arguments as to why Texas and Alabama could be relevant and should be relevant in any discussion of the best teams in college football right now. However, on the other side is Rod Gilmore saying they're not. And that's a high bar for me to clear, because Rod has to be right. So Rod's right.
It feels like Rod's noted sports conservatism comes into play, because this would mean moving a team more than 2 spots, and that's really far.
Yes.
Like, when we think of, you know, traditionally the playoff rankings have been pretty fast and loose when it comes to teams moving up or down. The AP is a bit more conservative, and the coaches poll takes like weeks to lurch into action. Rod is like 1 step past the coaches poll here, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
2 spots, that's about as far as you can possibly move a team.
So, possible cabbage, a commenter, raises an interesting point. Michigan would have still been in if Iowa won somehow, so maybe Georgia should still be in. We all agree that Alabama is better than Iowa.
No, listen, I got to object to this premise here. Okay. I would put Michigan the fuck out. Okay. If you lost to that Iowa team, fuck you. Done. Go home.
Oh, boy.
I said the thing about Michigan because it's still a win over Ohio State, which is as good as the Bama win that has people suggesting Bama should get in.
Like, I just appreciate that. As everyone's having the same 1.5 arguments, Rod Gilmore is brave enough to just be like, I think Georgia is the best team in the SEC. And it's the fucking goal. It's not just Georgia should be in the playoff. Georgia should be ahead of Florida State.
Yeah. Crown them.
Why three? Why not two? You're going to put them behind the other dogs?
Washington had an advantage playing a team that they already played. Georgia hadn't gotten the opportunity to play Alabama.
Every now and then, Ryan reminds me that lawyers can say anything in court.
Anything!
Anything. You can say anything. It's totally legal.
The standard for what is unethical as a lawyer has nothing to do with saying dumb shit.
Why should Michigan move ahead of Georgia when Michigan hasn't beaten Georgia?
That's a really good point.
Can I provide an example from today?
Please.
I don't know how many of you were scrolling film Twitter while this was all happening, but this was earlier this afternoon. I'm going to read the tweet, and then I'm going to read the quote. Will Smith confirms he will star in I Am Legend 2 with Michael B. Jordan. And here's the quote from Will Smith. This is from Screen Daily. I have a call with Michael B. Jordan tomorrow. The script just came in. We're going with the DVD version where my character lived.
Attorney Rod Gilmore says, objection.
I'm just saying, at all levels of life, it is becoming clearer than it has ever been. You can say anything.
This should.
Remember, until this happens, by the way, if you say anything about this, people will go, well, yes, here's what I think. It doesn't matter. What I think doesn't matter. There's a bunch of people in a conference room, which Ryan, I believe, has already said, though sparse and plain looking.
Well, it was pointed out by, I think, longtime EDSBS commenter Apple Course that mm-hmm. there are no snacks visible in the live look-in on the committee. Like, they make a big deal of, oh, the committee, this is the first committee sleepover of the season. They're all getting together. mm-hmm. And there are no visible snacks. And Apple Corps, I think, rightfully said.
Who's that hottie in the middle, though? Did we ever figure that out?
I don't know. But yes, Spencer, I think there's actually some extremely good shit off screen.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for one of them to come around and say, we're going with the version, the DVD version, where Georgia won.
Just like Barry Alvarez walking in the back with a suckling pig held in his hand like a hoagie.
I mean, that kind of is the argument people are making for Bama. We're going with the DVD version where they beat Texas.
Yeah,
we're going with the good ending.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Bama didn't get the good ending. They didn't collect 100 collectibles. They didn't collect enough Deku seeds.
They did. No badges for you. The test audiences didn't like it. I love the idea of a test audience being like, Florida State versus Iowa. No. 0 stars. No one liked this. Reject. Okay. Don't use that one.
Yeah, I don't remember this comment from Catherine as being true, but it feels actually true, so I'm just putting it up.
They once said that the committee has bacon upon request. I mean, so John Urschel, who used to be on the committee and just...
You think they make the newest person just man the foreman grill?
Oh, wow. That'd be a power move.
Like in the Heisman House commercials?
Yeah,
but having John Urschel do it's pretty good because he was a lineman.
John Urschel was on Pablo Torre's show recently, and... He reminded people that, like, you don't get paid to be on the committee. But that just means you don't get, like, a salary or a stipend. You definitely get extremely sweet food.
That also means there's a financial barrier to being on the committee, and you can't have a real job at the same time.
That's true.
And drugs. Let's just start that rumor. Yeah, get all the drugs you can have.
Well, it's in, like, Dallas, so.
Yeah. Here comes Dr. Feelgood, everybody.
Congrats to SMU on their AAC championship. Yeah. Speaking of drugs.
Speaking of that China White.
Trying to outfit this room better. Did y'all know Herman Miller makes a gaming chair?
I did not. How much is it?
Who's
that?
I
was thinking most expensive gaming chairs to see how we could fill out this room better.
Jason, you might recognize a Herman Miller chair from, there are lots of like New York City office knockoffs of them.
Oh, okay. I've been in those.
You have, unfortunately. I know that's true.
More recently than you have.
That's right.
The Aeron chairs are legit.
Yeah, you've been in a Sherman Muller chair.
Right. All right, Spencer, you can shout welcome now. We're way over numbers, so.
Forecast After Dark for men.
Welcome to the Fullcast After Dark. Longhorn noises. Moo.
Hee-haw.
Yeah.
Spencer, I would like to read a list to you, if that's all right.
I love it.
I'd like to read a list to everybody.
Okay.
Incomplete, intercepted, sacked, 9-yard completion on 3rd and 23, knocked down at the line of scrimmage, knocked down at the line of scrimmage, sacked, 13-yard completion on 2nd and 16, incompletion, sacked. Do you know what this is?
Is it Jack Plummer?
Iowa's best drive?
This is Jack Plummer's fourth quarter. It has 13 dropbacks, 2 completions, 5 sacks, 1 interception, and 5 incompletions.
Hi, Ryan. I'm going to do the nice thing first and say, I believe that this is indicative of the overall strength of FSU's ability to affect the passer, pursue runners, and overall make the offense as uncomfortable as possible.
Sure. That's fine.
Okay. Yep. We've just said that. They're outstanding. Great job, y'all.
Yep. I'm not sure any... God.
That's not where we're going to stay, though. Is Jack Plummer the worst quarterback you've ever seen to get to the ACC championship?
No.
Are you sure?
Ball make one?
Yeah, I think that's true. Skinner make one?
Don't you remember the 2000s ACC championships?
We are in Reggie Ball territory, sir. Jack Plummer. I thought Jack Plummer was playing like his 5th game. He started 45 games.
This is his 46th game, if College Football Reference is right.
Is Jack Plummer in Reggie Ball territory and it's being obscured because he doesn't have Calvin Johnson down there to bail him out?
It's a little bit of that. It's a little bit, everyone assumes that he's related to Jake Plummer. He is not. They are not in any way related.
No.
It's bullshit that he's not.
Correct.
We all agree with this, right? Absolute horseshit that he's not. Like, I accept that it's true, whatever, that he's not related to Jake Plummer. Good.
It feels wrong.
Yeah.
It feels very wrong.
It's true, but it's not right.
Yeah. There we go. It's right, but it's not okay.
It just ain't right.
It ain't.
Yes. It's bad. It's bad.
And if he didn't want to draw the comparisons, he should have been named something else.
Yeah. This is a guy who one of those guys who looks like he's dirting the ball wrong. You know, like those guys who looks like he's throwing it to the wrong guy. It's just.
Like you are right. You are right.
It hurts.
Florida State's defense is very good. And I don't think there was at any point they were like, oh shit, Jack Plummer's going to eat us alive.
No, it was never a question. Do you know one time Joey Porter got up and they were trying to, you know, they have to vote on All Pro. Mm-hmm. And All Pro is a players only meeting. They don't want the coaches in there. And they were trying to figure out how they could coordinate their votes to give somebody a little extra money who was going to need it because they weren't going to be in pro football, like as a mean joke, but also like, hey, maybe we can actually get them an All Pro bonus. So at one point, Joey Porter, to all the defenders in the Pittsburgh locker room, goes, hey, QB, we can't give any of these motherfuckers any actual money. Like any of the guys who already have money, we don't respect QBs. Who's that slap dick we played the other week? And somebody in the back goes,
JP Losman.
He's like, yeah, yeah, nominate him. And they all wrote down JP Losman's name. And that is how I feel watching Jack Plummer. I watched Harry Douglas. Harry Douglas on Twitter was just getting so close to saying it. He's just like, I can't.
Hey, speaking of slap dicks, apparently Tony Petitti ran away from the trophy presentation.
What?
I am receiving texts from Michigan folks at the scene telling me that Tony Petitti fled the Big Ten trophy presentation.
That's beautiful.
Little Tony skittered away. Ah.
That's absolutely beautiful.
Tony Petitti went a skitty.
Yeah, like I still think I'll still be fine if Florida State gets in. Like, I don't have a problem with that. Their defense played super well. And I will say, considering they had to start Brock Glenn, their third stringer, who definitely at points looked like the third stringer, I thought Florida State did a reasonably good job of being like, well, we got to figure some shit out. We have to make some chicken salad here. And between, like, mixing in some Wildcat and, like, being like, we're not going to throw the ball too much if we don't have to. And asking a lot of the defense, but getting it from them. Like, I was like, okay, I feel like this worked out. And from Louisville's, like, I'm trying to find it, but there's, I think, Louisville kicked a field goal in the third quarter to tie midway through the third quarter. They had 4th and 1 at the Florida State 19. They were down 3-0. And Jesse Palmer's like, you got to get points here. Just doing his best, Rod Gilmore. And I'm like, I don't think you should plan for multiple trips into the red zone with this offense. Like, I think you should go for this 4th and 1. And if you don't get it, fuck it. Like, there was a lot of this Louisville game that felt like they were, I don't know. I would have liked it better if they had been more like, ah, fuck it. What do we have to lose? Like, we're underdogs here despite Florida State's injury situation. We've never been to the ACC title game. Like, let's just throw some shit at the wall. And they did a little bit of it, but some of it was just a mess. We don't have to. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have led with this.
It's
the most recent game. No, like,
it is the most recent game. That's true.
This is always the weird weekend when, like, we can't look and see, like, oh my God, UCLA is doing something crazy right now.
Right.
You know, but this game was a fascinating watch because, like, the entire time it was like SEC fans talking about how shitty FSU was looking, because they're trying to lobby for, like, 17 SEC teams to make the Final Four. And then, like, little by little, slowly but surely, you look up and you're like, FSU's covering by 9 against the top 20 team. What are we, like, what are we shitting on them for? Like, they're going to get healthier before their semifinal game.
And they'll have time to figure out, like, what their offense is going to look like with.
Yeah, they're going to plan out so much Wildcat shit. I would love to see the Wild.
Yeah.
The triple option in the playoff, we have finally made it. But, like, you know, this entire game was talking about how garbage FSU is, and it's like, really? Like, this is the kind of football you like, SEC fan. 16-6, you love that shit.
Oh, boy. All right.
This is, by the way, not a quirk, but this is tradition. Okay, because there are going to be people in who are like, oh, well, you know, this is everything. We should go back. We should just do things the way we used to do, you know. And I watched Florida State start a wide receiver at quarterback in an important bowl game. Like, this kind of shit can happen anytime. You can be the team with the third string quarterback. Over one play. That's how it can happen. So I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say, like, oh man, listen, Florida State's going to have a Ferrari on the road. They're going to have it ready. No, they don't have a Ferrari right now. They don't. They got like a Chevy Malibu.
It also, like, papers over the fact that even when Jordan Travis was healthy, Florida State's offense was capable of, like, really ripping off yards and points. And they also had stretches where it was just like nothing works. Like, the sort of fits and starts to the offense are obviously much more magnified with Jordan Travis out, but it's not entirely new.
No, Not at all. Not at all. And like, they're going to get something that works because if you have any familiarity with that Mike Norvell coaching staff, those are some ball coach ass ball coaches, and they are very fond of figuring out ways to move the ball no matter what happens. I think they're like one of the best staffs I've seen.
And Rod Gilmore says they're getting in.
And Rod Gilmore said that they and Georgia are getting in. So I look forward. I look forward. Here is a Rod Gilmore quote. I look forward to that chess match.
Easy, easy. Checkers. Settle down. Settle. In chess, you can move like, what, 4 spots at once? 7 spots at once? Whoa, yeah. What's the hurry?
Whoa.
One at a time, please.
Rod's the guy who, if you knew him for like 2 years, on the set, 2 years and one day, he'd be like, I'm now going to put my hand on your shoulder to emphasize the handshake. This is an advancement in our relationship. And you're like, thanks, man.
And this is as far as we'll ever go. This is it.
In 7 years, I will give you a brief embrace.
We have maxed out friendship.
I just see that like a Yakuza scene, right? We have maxed out friendship.
So are you going to go backwards chronological?
Yeah,
so,
sure.
It's Big Ten time.
God.
Did anyone watch any of this show?
Chronologically.
I bailed on this after Iowa got, I think the very rough end of a fumble call that was an overturned incompletion. Like, I thought that was there were a lot of shit calls today. There, like, the refs were very rough this weekend, frankly. But when Iowa got sort of tricked into a turnover near their own 10-yard line, and then Blake Corum scored, I was like, okay, it would be rude to linger at this point.
I just want to note, someone named Mike Jones was blocked in the chat, and the next comment is, who? I don't know what's going on there, but
I do. I like people who bring us news that we already know. Mike Jones is like, this sucks. I'm like, yes, too bad. Stick around. It's going to keep going.
The Big Ten game, I had it on split screen for like 5 minutes, and then it was like Michigan ran back a punt, and it's like, wow, if Iowa doesn't even have that, this is a wrap.
I mean,
I watched far too much of this game.
Michigan covered, Iowa and the under hit, and mm-hmm. And Iowa under 0.5 points in either yes. half hit, like
magnificent.
Just, yeah. Just like Michigan had 213 yards total offense. They look like ass, and they won 26-0.
Hey, comfortably. Yeah.
Never in doubt. Never. And by the way, when I say never in doubt, I don't mean victory. I mean Iowa not scoring.
And also, like, I think we have to acknowledge this fucking golf course in Cedar Rapids.
Uh huh. X golf in Cedar Rapids
that offered a promo where, if you booked like a booth time, a bay time with them or whatever, you could get free draft beer until the Hawkeyes scored or until the game was over.
Some say they're still drinking to this day.
So I did a little bit of actual journalism on this.
Okay.
I saw that and said, everybody must be dead. Then I thought, but I don't know that everyone's dead.
Sure.
How could I find that out? And I was like, I should just call them. So I looked up their number. I called them and I spoke with the hostess and I said, are you guys still open?
Yeah.
Yes. The place burned down. No, it's not burned down. No property damage so far. I said, are you still serving beer? And she said, yeah, we have kegs rolling in.
We need backup.
And everyone's having a really great time. And I was like, fuck yes, you are. Absolutely.
Like, there were 368 offensive yards overall in this game.
Yeah, but you know who just put it 275 from the tee onto the green? That's right, me. The virtual green. They're still serving. Kate, go get us another beer.
Man.
Yeah, they were deploying emergency kegs. I hope everybody at the X Golf managed to get out of there all right without getting injured by a flying 9-iron. And that you set all the records on virtual golf.
It's also just like to go from, all right, Bama did it. Now it's time for everybody to care a lot about the Big Ten and the ACC title games. Let's see what happens.
Now let's watch the two most boring games of the entire day.
All you have to do is get this toddler to carry something across the street successfully. Here we go.
We're going to watch Frogger. Yeah. Except it's slow. Slow-mo Frogger.
Slow-mo Frogger. Uh-oh, the frog fell asleep.
Yeah. By the way, before I forget this, I do want to establish this. Like, what do you think the furthest somebody has absolutely slammed a golf ball while having at least a 0.12 BAC? 0.1 point. Like, what's good and drunk? 0.1? 0.1, I'm pretty drunk.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll say 0.1. But the 0.1 BAC, has anyone ever put a golf ball like, has anyone ever gone like 320?
Yeah, sure.
Sure?
Why not?
Okay. Yeah, you don't think John Daly's ever done that?
Oh, boy. I considered him bending the curve on this exercise, Ryan.
Come on.
Today?
That's just fucking, that's like all the 90s were for.
The comments. The comments
the
right
comments
now.
Are daily, all daily.
Daily, 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 daily.
John, yeah, however far John Daly hits it. Thank you, David Pollack. I'm glad you came
David
by.
David Pollack in the house.
Yes.
How many extra quarters do you think we would have had to have played before Iowa scored?
I was thinking this as well. Like, a whole other game, there's no guarantee they would have scored.
Because you know? The farthest they got downfield, I'm scrolling through, I have them at the Michigan 44 before they got stopped on 4th and 1. Yeah, I think that's it.
So, like, their first half, I mean, they literally, the expectations couldn't go down. Like, if their half total was already 0.5, you can't take them down to 0.25. That's not a thing in gambling. You cannot go any lower.
Why not?
Well, all you could do is
don't see why not.
You could just increase the odds and make it like negative money that they don't score.
Right, right. Like I think you're right. I think if you played 8 more quarters, you would have needed some fluky shit for Iowa to have scored.
I don't think they're doing it.
Like Michigan accidentally runs back a punt the wrong way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if all things are equal, I don't think they score. You give me any number of quarters. I just don't think it's happening.
Like, at some point, this game was so easily in the bag that Gus Johnson basically started working on his Ric Flair impression.
Sure.
I'm not making that up. That's a thing that happened.
Sure.
Yeah. And then had the most evil non sequitur.
That's right.
Like, he waited a little too
like
long
a,
for
like
it.
Like a video game fighting character.
Yeah, like I was like, oh, okay, I guess Gus is done with it.
Ric Flair and Adolf Hitler, two bad guys. Different kinds of bad, mostly.
His nickname of the night was Blake the Great. He just kept calling Blake, Blake the Great! Yeah.
That's a pretty simple one.
It's simple. It's much better than Maserati Marv.
Disagree. That's a great nickname.
Great. It's an awesome normal
nickname.
I've been
Maserati Marv pilled.
He's an expensive Dodge!
Is it time to talk about Bama v. Georgia?
Ooh, baby!
Yeah, it's fucking time.
Where do you want to begin?
Bama beat Georgia. Georgia's three-peat quest is no more.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Well, until Rod Gilmore is proven
until correct. Rod Gilmore,
sorry,
yeah,
until,
no.
Until Rod,
sorry.
Until Rod gets them in there. For now, the 1930s Minnesota Golden Gophers can rest easy as the last FBS team to three-peat until Rod Gilmore has his say, of course.
That's from Rod Gilmore's subtle anti-Minnesota agenda.
A friend of ours texted me and was like, don't worry. Well, I'll just tell you who the friend was. It's Josh Black, since he was on the show a couple weeks ago. And I'll pull up what he told me. Shockingly, according to the 247 Georgia message board, this loss is Mike Bobo's fault, along with not having enough NIL for the defensive line and the transfer portal bleeding depth this past offseason.
That's right. We're going to blame somebody. Let's blame Mike Bobo.
And we're poor. That's the real lesson here.
Yeah.
A failure of Cruton and Mike Bobo.
I like blaming the portal stuff because last year the entire Georgia bragging point was we won another title despite the portal. So there goes that.
The Mike Bobo slander is understandable.
Yeah. Bobo, they kept it. Well, all right. It is a double bind for, ye classic Georgia fan, because the thing that actually I think got them behind the sticks and in trouble consistently, it was an inability to run the ball, but a real commitment to doing it, which is great. It's hey, you know that thing we've been doing all season where we trust Carson Beck to pass the ball because he's had ridiculously good passing numbers. He's been super efficient, and they basically use that as their part of their run game, mm-hmm. like the extended run game, mm-hmm. yep. like accurate short passing and mid-range passing to really good athletes who are better than the guys you have. They didn't do as much of that. They were like, no, we're gonna run the ball, and that's an idea. That's usually a good idea, and it was not today at all.
Jalen Milroe did not have, like, I think what is confusing to me about this game is Jalen Milroe did not have his best game by far. Like, he missed several passes. He took a long time in the pocket and took some sacks that it was just like, you just cannot be holding the ball this long. But Bama's defense, like, yes, Mike Bobo aside, Bama's defense, I thought, really looked good. Like one of the best games. Yeah.
78 yards rushing. They held Georgia to 7-8.
And right. only got beat on like one deep ball, really. Like everything yeah. else, they kept a lot in front of them, and they sort of, you know, like, yeah, Georgia moved the ball at points, but they didn't like get gashed, which mm-hmm. it seems like was one of the main worries was sort of like, once you have this lead, don't let Georgia get a quick score and sort of like flip things on you quickly.
Yeah. This is, by the way, I think Jalen Milroe is like kind of delightfully old school Bama quarterback. And you go, what was his completion percentage? That was around 50%. How were the balls? Kind of tortilla-y. Little floaty.
Two touchdowns, though.
Two TDs. got a crucial first down at the end of the game to functionally end the game and run the clock out, when he kind of hesitated, looked, chose the correct option, but mm-hmm. kind of got to it late, still sort of like managed to like hustle his way through the defense anyway, nearly fumbled the ball, but recovered and got the first down. Like, yeah, that's some old school Bama QB shit. I love it.
So Bama's not going to the playoff.
Yeah, they're not going. They shouldn't go. Pretty, yeah.
Well, they won't, so.
Yeah, it's too bad. Yeah, and George is going because
Rod said so.
Rod said so.
I keep forgetting yep. George is going. Yes, George See, is like, in. Yeah. I keep thinking, like, you know, Texas will go because they did nope. beat Bama, nope. unlike Georgia, who lost nope. to them. But I,
best
I
loss.
Keep forgetting.
Georgia, best yeah. loss.
I think the single funniest thing online tonight, by the way, it's an awesome night to just throw out a few, like, reasons for FSU over Bama and then just immediately mute conversation and then like just look at like, oh gosh, 40 people reply, that's crazy, I'll have fun.
Yeah, neat. Wow, yeah. Woof, 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 woof. That's what I hear.
But like, I think the single best thing going on tonight is Bama has the country's best win because they beat Georgia, and it's like, well, did you know someone beat Bama, so therefore that team has the country's best win?
Mm-hmm.
No,
that's not how it works.
Not allowed.
No,
not allowed.
The team beat Bama by 10.
Like anything Bama does further boosts Texas.
No, not allowed.
Texas, Bama is shoving Texas upward in the rankings, just like Notre Dame did with Cincinnati in the rankings mm-hmm. 2 years ago. Like, Bama was never going to jump Texas.
Yeah. Except because Rod said they won't.
Especially well, if it's more than two spots? Yeah, no.
Right.
I was never going to jump Texas until Rod weighed in, and now I understand why.
Yes.
Georgia instead.
Rod sees all. Rod sees all.
Thank you, Rod, for setting me straight.
I did appreciate, like, it's not an enviable job. He had to do it. I did appreciate Kirby Smart doing his, like, well, they said it's the four best teams, and if these aren't two of the... I think every man, woman, and child sees that these are two of the best four teams, and just, like, I don't think he wanted to do that shit.
No,
I don't think his heart wasn't in it. No, I don't think any part of Kirby Smart was, like, prepared for, all right, it's time to argue in favor of this team that just lost. I think he would rather have his team just beat the shit out of Liberty or whoever they draw in a non-playoff.
Please, please.
please.
That's real quick, to clarify what I was saying, I think commenters think I'm saying transitive win. No, I'm saying Bama surely ranks ahead of Georgia now, right?
Well, yes.
Texas ranks ahead of Bama. Therefore, Texas has the best win. That's it.
That's it. Oh, now muting conversation. Woof, woof, woof.
No, time to mute woof, that woof, woof. As well.
Y'all have fun. Woof, woof, woof. Boy, they're really going in there, huh?
Okay, keep going back in time. What's next?
Oh, God.
Oh, shit. So SMU Tulane was at the same time.
Uh-huh.
In which, you know, in the New Year's Six race, the woke liberals of the Walt Disney Company, they're gonna send a team to a New Year's Six game from, you know, from one of the Group of Five conferences, and I have a bad feeling that that team won't be Southern Methodist University.
That's right.
The Methodists will be snubbed by the woke Disney liberals. I don't know who they'll send. Not a Christian school, I would assume. No. It won't be a Christian school.
It'll be Troy.
The New Year's Six spot.
Troy. Trojans. That's a foreign power.
So
once again, Greek money controls the sport.
Liberty's gone from January 6th to New Year's 6th.
SMU's first conference title since they got the death penalty, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Since before then, yeah.
And now they get to take the American... I assume they just take the AAC trophy with them to the ACC.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like, there's a lot of that going on.
Yeah, like Ric Flair. Yeah, he's just going to take the belt with him.
Yeah, like, oh, we're back in the territory days. We really are.
These are territory days. You're going to take the belt with you. You know,
we got Washington is taking the Pac-12 trophy to the Big Ten.
Mm. Texas is taking the Big 12.
Big 12 has a literal title belt, literally handed to them by the Undertaker.
By the Undertaker.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly. So one, it's official. Two. Did you see Brett Yormark after Texas got finished absolutely drubbing Oklahoma State? Did you see Brett Yormark get Gary Bettman'd? Did you see him get completely booed off?
It was not a good day for conference commissioners between the Big Ten and Gary Yormark and Greg Sankey having to be like, this is good, right? This is probably good for our conference. Yes? No?
This is like Sesame Street.
Greg Sankey. Yeah, one thing is unlike the other four. They're in the playoff.
But yes, Brett Yormark had a very bad time as well.
Brett, yeah, and kind of stood
and
there
tried
like,
to post through it.
Yeah, he kind of was like, oh, okay, guys, okay. And then Texas fans were like, boo!
It was very much like, oh, this substitute teacher is not going to get control of this classroom.
No, they're gonna.
All right, guys, let's settle down.
Why not just send out an assistant commissioner who no one has ever heard of?
Why not send out the Undertaker? He's there.
Send out the fucking Undertaker.
It takes them because they got to be done with that thing in 5 minutes, and it takes them 10 minutes to get to the stage.
ESPN,
they
got to
get the smoke
off.
Machines.
And you don't want that guy talking. Who knows?
Like you have a ton of wrestlers there with mic experience. Send one of them out. Don't make Brett Yormark do it. That's what the Big Ten should have done too, frankly.
Actually, you know what you do? You have the Undertaker chokeslam Brett Yormark. There. Go. Yeah. Everybody's happy. You get
heat,
the pop.
Heat.
He sells. He looks humble. Yeah. Win-win.
Yep.
And now SEC Commissioner MJF.
I can't wait to get the fuck out of Charlotte.
Fucking talking. That is kind of how Texas acted for the past 20 years.
It is. They acted like MJF.
The pitting
right?
war of 2024 is literally what they did.
Yeah, quite literally. And then when Brett Yormark, the commissioner, was up there, they started chanting SEC at him. Which I have to say, rookie members of the conference, superb use of the chant, y'all.
SMU was doing an ACC chant as well.
And now we get to get Texas fans being like, the SEC sucks. Like, the winner shouldn't get in. The conference wasn't very good this year. That's why we're leaving the Big 12 to go to it.
Next year is when it'll be good.
That's when it'll be awesome.
Ryan, you don't understand. I'm not going there because it's classier than me. I'm going there because they need me.
Yeah, we're gonna go make it tough. We're going to teach the SEC how to football.
Absolutely yeah, beautiful. They don't call it Big Conference. They call it Big Cow. I'm there to size the place up. Put beef on the menu.
I would imagine on this podcast, like when the Texas SEC thing got announced, where you're like, oh boy, we're going to have to toughen these folks up. They don't know what they're in for, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, shit, they knocked the SEC out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hope you're ready. Hope you're ready for the comp. Shit, they're undefeated. Hope you're ready for the grind of going to Starkville.
Can we go slightly out of order here to talk about the Mountain West Championship?
Yeah, that's perfect. Because it should be on right now. Yeah.
So, yes, that is true as well. Just the journey Boise State has been on in the last 2 years. 2022, Boise State starts 2-2 with got beat to hell by Oregon State and lost a very bad game to UTEP. And it is around that time that they fire their offensive coordinator and bring in Dirk Cutter. And there's all these, like, I don't know, I don't think Andy Avalos has what it takes, whatever, whatever. They right the ship. They make it back to the Mountain West Championship game, which they lose to Fresno State last year. But Andy Avalos wins Mountain West Coach of the Year. Cut to 2023, where things only get more chaotic, where after 10 games, they have already lost 5 times, but then they rip off 3 wins to get back to the Mountain West Championship game under interim coach Spencer Danielson and win it this time with a fucking interim.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And are now, I guess, yes, they are. They are. I think they're going to play in the L.A. Bowl presented by Gronk.
They're in the Gronk Bowl, yeah.
They're in the Gronk mm-hmm. Bowl.
Which is so much better than being in the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl.
Yeah.
With their defensive coordinator, who is the interim coach, who was like a GA just 6 years ago. It's not like this is like, oh, this guy's been, he's younger than all of us. He's 35.
God. He gets to look that room with a straight face and go, guys, we're going to do it for the Gronk.
We made it. All of our goals were in front of us the whole time, and mm-hmm. we didn't falter. We made it to the Gronk Bowl.
My favorite thing is that Spencer Danielson, he originally was at Boise State under Brian Harsin. Brian Harsin took the Auburn job, and Spencer Danielson was offered a job at Auburn as well. I don't know what the position was, but he declined it. And that's one of the smartest fucking choices anyone has ever made.
Good call.
In Spence. This sport.
Good call, buddy.
The smartest Spencer in college football.
100%. It really, by the way, UNLV, they lost by 24, and that sucks. But fucking amazing year.
Like, yeah.
Absolutely fantastic work.
Their best season in 40 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, not our best season in a generation. No. Our best season in many generations.
Yeah, multiple generations, yeah.
Yeah. Like, not just like, oh, the last time we were good, the cicadas came out. No, the cicadas have gone and come out like 4 times since you were this good. So, respect to everyone there. I know you lost, but this is fantastic work.
In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Sleep is essential for recovery, and we all have unique needs. That's why Sleep Number smart beds are perfect for couples, with individualized settings for each side. Since 2018, Sleep Number and the NFL have teamed up to bring quality sleep to elite athletes. 8 out of 10 NFL players, including 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players, trust Sleep Number for their best rest. And now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed. Plus, special financing for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store for details.
Is it time for an FCS break?
Yes, please.
The Big Sky Conference, best conference in college football, had a rough time earlier today. Sacramento State lost on the road to one of the Dakotas, doesn't matter which one. Montana State Oh, heartbreaker at home. The Bobcats lost to another Dakota, doesn't matter which one. Fifth year in a row that that Montana State has been knocked out by a Dakota. On a blocked extra point in overtime.
Yep.
Brutal. Just brutal. But we're still in this thing because Montana is whooping Delaware's ass in the snow.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
49-19. That game's almost done. And Idaho is driving against the Salukis. So two Big Sky teams. I feel good about having to enter the next round.
That is in the Kibby Dome. The Kibby Dome.
Yeah, we are unstoppable in that warehouse.
Where you can catch a TD and run immediately into what appears to be an industrial kitchen that is just off of the end zone. If you just keep going through the door, that's where they make all the mac and cheese for group events. I wanted to also salute Troy Trojans. The Troy Trojans, this is a program. This is one of our nation's most programs.
That's a program-ass program.
Listen, this is more... They're more Auburn than Auburn is right now. Okay, they are closer to Jesus. I feel pretty safe saying that. Mm-hmm. Okay, you want to know why? Because you know what they did in this game? They're gonna play some defense. They're gonna get turnovers, and they're gonna run the ball. Well, how much did they run the ball? By the way, they ran the ball with Kamani Vidal, their outstanding running back. They're like, hey, he scored one TD. What are we gonna do? Let's get him two. That's nice. How many are we going to get him? Three? No, give him four. That seems like an adequate amount of touchdown. Run him again. Five TDs. They ran him. You're closer to the earth to remind you of your mortality. We come from dust. You get close to it. You run the ball. You put their ass in the dirt to remind them of that. And then you're closer to the Lord. That's how it works. They won 49-23 against App State and are champions of our nation's second finest conference, I think. The Sun Belt Championship.
Yeah,
Big Sky being the best, of course.
The Big Sky and the Sun. Just we're always looking up.
They're partners.
Yes. You can't have one without the other.
John Sumrall now is 23-4 at Troy.
Coach.
And he did not inherit like the Neil Brown Troy. He took over the Chip Lindsey never made a bowl game Troy.
And he turned it into a program.
He turned it into a goddamn program.
He did. We're gonna do things the right way. We're gonna graduate. Our kids, make sure they go to class.
Our kids.
And we're going to play, tough, hard-nosed defense. I can't promise we're going to win every game, but we sure as hell going to try.
We're going to be diligent. We're going
to
be
We're going to do our jobs.
Yeah.
Boys, we're going to get it done. We're just going to get it done. In the classroom, usually.
Yeah, sometimes. Weight room, always.
Weight room.
Stay swole. Thank you to Big Bull Jefferson, our strength coach. Hey, Big Bull, everybody go move. Move.
Y'all get your asses to chapel.
The Sun Belt thing that I am saddest to report is that I didn't know that there's a tailgate for Louisiana blowing up their stadium. Yeah. Like, I would have absolutely tried to have gone to this.
Yeah.
What the hell?
I mean, why wouldn't there be...
Yes,
like,
yeah,
there's an open bar at it.
Yes, yeah, we're about to blow that bitch up. Can you just imagine sitting in like a... I will tell you this, by the way. There was a car crash on my street tonight. Everybody's fine, but the people who were in it, I just got a bunch of lawn chairs and let them sort of sit in the driveway for a while they waited for the officials and the tow trucks to come up. And we just hung out for like 2 hours watching the Georgia game on a phone and talking. Mm-hmm. And it was great fun. Now,
sure.
Imagine just the fun of hanging out with strangers while they get ready to blow a goddamn stadium up, and people are just handing you, like, Cajun food and mysteriously powerful alcoholic drinks in red Solo cups. That's a good time.
That is a good time.
Yeah.
That is a good time.
The weather's going to be nice. Yeah, absolutely.
We haven't hit the MAC championship. Miami of Ohio winner there over Toledo.
Yeah, Toledo's quarterback had a very bad time. I watched about 30 minutes of this game. Very bad time.
Miami didn't have a great passing day themselves, but it really didn't matter. Like, they ran the ball pretty effectively and just kind of like pushed Toledo around a lot, frankly.
Yeah, this was more of a shoving contest. Mm-hmm. And Miami, Ohio, superior shovers in the end. Congratulations to them. Massive, massive win for the Red Hawks.
I have a question. What is the Midwestern corollary of program? Because I think these Red Hawks are that. They're like excellent special teams.
The team? I think them. Is it a Bo Schembechler? The team?
Oh, this is a team. Okay, team. Yeah, got it.
Team. Got a great team. Really happy for our guys.
Guys, yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah, our guys.
Great bunch of guys.
We
just got a good,
a good group of guys.
Yeah, it's a great. Hey, listen, it's a great group of guys. It's a great group of guys.
A band of brothers.
Yeah, could be happier. Maybe could be happier for him.
You know, it could be. We got a strong locker room.
That's good. That's good. Like that, somebody Ted. Like that a lot.
It all starts in the locker room.
Somebody in the comments said, these men.
These men, they don't give up. Not one of them.
These are Miami men. When I look at this bunch of dudes.
Somebody said group of guys is all one word. Group of guys.
Group of guys. This locker room group of guys.
Fucking love it.
But yeah, this is a defense and special teams team. This is a program-ass Midwestern group.
Yeah, 100%. How far back in time can we go? And does that give me an excuse?
We should pause. We didn't give Texas enough of its due.
I don't think we did either.
Like, Quinn Ewers threw for 452 fucking yards.
This game was over immediately.
Which is apparently a Big 12 championship game record, as was his 4 passing TDs. And like... Man, Sark was pulling out all the fancy shit.
Yeah, this like, was this was Beclownery. He was calling up all of the plays that make you look like a dick.
Like you know when you're watching an NBA blowout and you see like a player throw it off the backboard to himself? Sark was doing the play calling version of that in this game.
This was we were going reverse halfback pass pretty early. In the script, we threw a touchdown pass to Tavondre Sweat. Tavondre Sweat does not play receiver. He weighs 362
His
pounds.
His jersey number is 93, I believe.
His jersey number is like 933,000. And it would fit.
Hell yeah.
And like obviously, because this was a 49-21 blowout, Oklahoma State didn't run the ball a ton, but their longest run of the day was for 9 yards. They did not have a good time.
Well, I mean... Bama beat this team, and Georgia played Bama, so that's why Georgia's number 3.
That is why Georgia is number 3 in the unassailable Rod Gilmore College Football Playoff Committee.
Congratulations for Sark for pulling out the pull down your huge pants and then immediately... Pull down your huge pants and immediately do the Bam Margera flying kick into someone's head. That was it. It wasn't like, haha, we've just pulled down your pants. No, someone's airborne and flying towards your skull.
Why are your pants
feet
so
first.
Huge?
Yeah.
But I assume, Spencer, you want to talk about the Pac-12 championship game.
Hell yes, I do.
Okay, please go ahead.
Absolutely, I do. Because... The best description of Kalen DeBoer and the way that this Washington team plays was given, of course, by a very smart person and Washington fan, Mina Kimes, who described them. Described Kalen DeBoer specifically as, I believe, chaotic good in terms of like play calling and then lawful neutral in terms of demeanor, which is terrifying. And that is 100% correct. If you watch Kalen DeBoer on the sideline or the demeanor of anyone else who is in the management class for this team or even most of their star players, they are very even. They are very chill. And then the things they do on the field are absolutely terrifying. And I don't mean just in terms of, ooh, the physical aggression and violence of football. No, I mean in terms of, why did you call that? Why did it work? Why was that your first option? Why did you call it on 4th and goal? I'm scared. Things are cold. Yeah, it is the kind of like Washington is the kind of team that is designed to kill Rod Gilmore if he was watching a game. They are daring at every single point. There is a goal line series in this game where they call 3 things in a row and all of them are nuts. Now, all of them are fundamentally sound and they execute them well. They don't all work, but all of them are like, wouldn't call that. Nope, wouldn't call that either. Oh, they scored on that. I would not have called that there. Yeah, they ended up scoring on a tight end leak out of a tackle over formation. That was their best play. They were like, yeah, go with that. Tight end leak out of tackle over. They'll never see it coming. And they didn't. and they didn't. I love this team. Absolutely love it. And not just because of Michael Penix. They are top to bottom weird. You have an offensive lineman with a Church of the Subgenius tattoo. you know, they have a running back from Mississippi State that Mike Leach basically said was a bitch. And he was so important for them against Oregon and ran for over 100 yards in the form of Dylan Johnson, who's been great all year and just seems to be getting better. Their defense, I would not say their defense is great, but they are good when they have to be. And for some reason, the timing there has been superb.
They are always just good enough.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, hey, could you guys get a stop? And they're like, oh, is that what we're doing? Okay, cool. Yeah.
Just one, right?
Yeah.
That's all you want, just one.
They have a very Muppet Band kind of defense, right? Where they're like, like where Kermit walks in and goes, guys, we're on. And they're like, oh, okay. And then they show up and they beat the shit out of somebody. And they're like, you just had to ask. I adore them.
Not to jump too far ahead, we'll have plenty of time to talk about this shit, but we're looking at a situation where it's Sark versus DeBoer. Like that seems like a likely semifinal game.
That's
so
not what Rod said.
In the non-canon, non-Rod universe.
Okay. In the apocryphal playoff that you're describing.
Yeah, in NCAA 2024.
Yeah,
We can play Texas versus Washington, and that'd be a pretty fun shootout if that were to happen. Obviously it won't because it'll be Georgia. But
right.
Yeah, I would love to see the deeper that both Sark and Sark yours right the combination of the two, and DeBoer Penix, or you know specifically Grubb Penix, their offensive coordinator. If you want to get super specific, the deeper they go into any playoff, either now or in the future, the better, because they call some breathtakingly ballsy shit. They really do. And like, after watching, you know, a season full of Mike Bobo, like, I'm ready. I'm ready for, you know what the safe play on 4th-and-3 is? 4 birds. Yeah, I'm ready.
This was, I know it was a weird weekend, and I know like the playoff committee has problems to deal with. Although Rod has already shown them the way, so whatever. But, like, I think if this result, which very easily could have gone the other way, if this result had been flipped, I really don't know what the fuck would, like, then it really would have been just, like, an unholy mess. This is like, the biggest favor they got, I think, in a realistic sense.
So, at that point, it would be Oregon versus Bama?
Sure. Let's go with that.
Yeah. Like, you could tell me anything about it. That sounds right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's probably Bama.
Yeah.
I would guess.
Most likely. And that didn't happen is kind of a shame, because that also would have been a nice story. This is not one of those big matchups and games where I go, I'm really like, I'm bummed that or I'm happy that it happened this way because I have antipathy toward one team or really vastly prefer another. I don't. I thought watching Bo Nix be good was great. I thought like I'll miss that. He was a delight to watch this year. He was a delight to watch for large stretches of this game. Sucks to watch him lose.
A delight to watch for 60 games of college football.
Not all 60, Jason. Not all
60. I would say they were all
delightful,
listen,
one way or the other.
They were entertaining.
Yeah.
Like, I
one more,
remember.
Yeah. I'll give him that. One more,
Bo Nix is the only quarterback who I've ever seen throw spike the ball the wrong way.
How many boring Bo Nix games have there been?
That's right.
Come on.
You know what, man? That's true. Always got my money's worth. I'm sorry for disrespecting you, Bo. 100%.
All-time college football player.
Yes. Yes. I will do that.
And very likely a Heisman finalist. So
I think so. Yeah, I think even though a more uneven game for him, I would be kind of surprised if this knocked him out.
Yeah. I mean, he was the favorite entering this weekend. So
right.
I would assume some people have already voted him the winner.
Voters have until the 4th, and some voters will 100% take all of the time possible.
But a lot of them don't.
What is the case for voting early, though?
I don't know.
I'm done.
I guess so.
I don't want to watch anything. I don't know.
I get itchy having an email in my inbox that I haven't responded to. I think that could be it.
This year there is a case for voting early because the guy who should win didn't play today. So, you know, but
even then, like, wouldn't you want to wait and see, like, if something truly crazy happened?
Yes. Yes. I'm just saying, this year it's possible to have your mind already made up.
Yeah.
Most years, no.
Some of us will wait as long as possible.
Isaiah Bond, Heisman winner.
Damn it, Ryan.
Diego Povia.
Diego, listen, I can speak publicly about this one. Diego is a BVP finalist. Maybe already the winner.
That's right.
Tory Taylor?
Yeah. Yeah. Bradley Van Pelt Award winners.
Punt master.
Punt master. the Iowa punt hype up reel for this was absolutely incredible.
So I wanna look at something real quick. So last year, Iowa, I think, averaged 17 points a game, including their bowl game, which obviously they still have to play one of those, which they don't have to, but they will. And right now, I believe they are at, yeah, they're at 16.6. Like, they, and look, we've talked about the injuries, we've talked about, like, the problems, and we get all that, but, like, they gave Brian Ferentz a goal that was like, you need to get better by a touchdown or more. More like a touchdown and a two-point conversion. And he got slightly worse. That's fucking
And in your last game, you're going to let it all hang out. We're going to call all the trick plays. We're going to do the crazy stuff. We're going to go ahead and let them show. We're going to end my last game ever as a coordinator. Oh, God. Please let this be his last game ever as a coordinator.
I just they're virtually guaranteed to beat the fuck out of somebody in bowl season, and it'll be like 17-0.
Yes.
Yeah. It'll be horrendous.
Like if you watch it, it'll be like that other team never had a ghost of a prayer, but the score looks like nothing.
Yeah. But what did Brian call in this last game? 7 first downs. Bang. As I came in, so I leave.
We stick to our guns, and they're very tiny guns that don't actually fire anything. Uh-oh, the Salukis are driving. Uh-oh.
I also appreciate that, like, look, I don't really have anything against the Hawkeyes, and I'm sorry if this makes it sound like I do, but there is a cleanliness to losing to Michigan 26-0, so we don't have to hear about, like, that review in the Minnesota game, that punt return, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It absolutely doesn't matter. We don't have to what-if this, because it's a 2-loss team no matter what, and a 2-loss team that could not score in the Big Ten championship.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's like, it's going to get lost in all of the Iowa-ness of it, but like, when is the last time a team made it to a conference championship game and didn't score?
Yeah. So.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's pathetic.
Okay.
No, that's the word. That's the word for it. If I were a defender, I would be doing very unsafe things in that locker room towards the offensive staff, and not a judge in the world would convict me. I'd go back to Iowa and I'd be like, yeah, I totally challenged Brian Ferentz to a fight, and if that means assault and you want to charge me with it, you go right ahead. And that judge would be like, son, walk out of here today a free man.
Someone has pointed out in the chat very helpfully that Ohio State in, what is this, 2014? Mm-hmm. Yes, the 2014 Big Ten Championship game did beat Wisconsin 59-0. So, yes, there is precedent from this very conference.
Yeah, that, it's happened. We're just saying it's been a while.
It's not normal. It's great.
And also, it just so happens to be the Big Ten over and over. I mean, the Big Ten West over and over. And that's not going to be a problem going forward. So,
I'm going to miss you, Big Ten West.
Big Ten West teams in the Big Ten Championship. Yeah, that's like once a decade now.
Oh, Joel Stave, you flew too close to the sun.
Which in Wisconsin is like several million miles, but still. What'd you do? I got up on something high. Ooh, it's hot up there.
That's true.
I do want to go back to one thing. This is like, historically, this is the end of Georgia's dynastic run. Right. Could be
again.
The start of another.
It's the again.
End of
the,
it's the end of this. It's the end of the streak. Yeah, but it's the end of the streak. To be fair, Rod has him in the play.
Those who believe in the wisdom of Rod will be shown the truth.
I'm sorry. Rod's right. Rod's right. But, you know, if evil prevails.
The kingdom of Rod is nigh.
Yeah.
the kingdom of Rod is within you. That sounds sexy.
There is no Rod, but Rod alone.
Do not
love
defame.
The Lord your rod with all your heart.
Yeah.
Rod is not mocked. In the beginning, Rod.
This is the end of one streak, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
The end of one
definitely.
Streak.
Definitely.
Yes, they have lost. I can confirm that.
They've lost. They've like, that's done.
Yeah.
That's over. I have one thing that like I'm like, I if I wanted to go ahead and say I have one piece of evidence that they're not going to start another streak of that length or magnitude, it's this. it's that I really think this ended when they hired Mike Bobo. I think when they brought Mike Bobo back, it was over. It was just a matter of time. Yeah. I have no science behind this. I'm just like, that guy.
Yeah, like as a, you know, Bobo's first stint was a lot better than Georgia fans made it out to be this time around. Okay, they're right.
Yeah. No, by the way, I'm not saying that like he's doing a bad job or that the numbers are going to look bad when you put them down on paper or that even that he did a bad job. I thought he did a real good job before, but they're not, it's not happening again. Not when he's your coordinator. I can't explain why. You can win 11 games. You might be able to win 12. It's not happening. I don't know why. Please give me data. Please send me theories. I feel I'm right, and I'm working toward an exact explanation scientifically of why.
I think it's a little bit that, but I think it's also that like the last two Georgia defenses, when you look at them from like an analytics basis, were not only the best defense in the country, but they were one of those where it's like, oh, the difference between them and number two is like the difference between number two and number 10. They were like otherworldly all-time good defenses. And the offenses were good too, but
yeah,
you knew that if you got into most games and you needed the defense to like hold the line or flip the field or fuck some shit up for you.
Kibby Dome overtime. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, it's all right. I think that's the right time to jump in. And this defense is good, but not best defense in the country, but not like can't be beaten. Like it's still very, very good defense. It's just not the same thing. And I think like, I don't know, that as much as anything sort of reared its head tonight.
There weren't
a lot of points where it was like, oh, Alabama feels like they, when Alabama bogged down, it felt like it was because they were failing to execute and not, oh, Georgia is imposing their will on Alabama.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's different. That's all.
Yeah. Bama looked flawed all year, even in their moment of glory. Like, it ended up being a really good season and like an incredible season considering where they were at one point, but this was a flawed team all along.
Like the team that has the defense that does the impose your will thing is Michigan.
Yes.
At least of the teams that are going to make the playoff.
They do. Can I voice
in addition to Georgia?
It's 1 a.m. so I can go ahead and voice this because nobody's listening. There's nobody here. I can say it.
According to this, there's 1,100 people here.
There are people just typing things that you say as you say them.
You know, numbers on the internet, Ryan, they know how to work those.
That's true.
So yeah.
Rod knows.
Rod knows.
Rod will tell you.
Yeah. Michigan's offense, I know they're playing Iowa, but I'm going to go back a couple of games. I don't feel like if they're in a close game, that
they just played a close game.
No.
They just played a close game against Ohio State.
Yeah.
The Penn State game was close.
If
for
they
stretches.
Play a good team, you're saying.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
If they play any of these teams that aren't Florida State.
Yeah.
If they play any of these teams that aren't Florida State, watch Florida State beat them. God damn it, now that I've said it. If they play any of these teams that aren't Florida State, and you gotta go, hey, JJ McCarthy, take us out of there. I'm nervous as hell. I'm so absolutely nervous.
Why? About Michigan's about Michigan getting in a shootout, is that what you're saying?
I think if they have to score more than like 24, 28, you know, if it gets into a more contemporary game, so to speak. Uh-huh. if we enter the 21st century,
if we're pushing it into the 1990s.
Well,
at least.
No, I mean, I get entering, this is not updated through Saturday's games, But J.J. McCarthy ranks 86th in the country in pass attempts. Like, his completion percentage is very good. His touchdown to interception rate is good. His yards per attempt, like, all of those numbers are good. But they have not had a game where they have said, okay, we need to. Like, they have games where they will, but they have not had a game where they're like, we need to put this on J.J. McCarthy's arm.
Well, there's also a direct correlation between I'm nervous about J.J. McCarthy and their offensive line has had a slew of injuries recently. Mm-hmm. So those two things, when it comes to quarterbacks, tend to be connected.
But doesn't, like, Michigan's defense mean that they are more likely to get into a low-scoring defensive battle than into a shootout?
So I have thoughts on that. I think that there are teams that can... I think there are teams that can challenge them in ways that they may not have experienced. I'm just sort of thinking of one, Washington.
Sure. Right? Washington's interesting just on wide receiver talent alone.
Yeah. Washington's one team where I go, ooh, I am intrigued by what Texas would present.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, in terms of both weaknesses and strengths, in terms of both challenges and opportunities for Michigan, because I feel like Quinn Ewers and J.J. McCarthy, brother, we are the same in terms of, man, I just did something cool. On the next play, I'm also going to try to do something cool. It was cool. Maybe not for me. Maybe for you.
I think the difference between them is, like, Texas. I think Texas is more comfortable getting to a place where it's like, yep, Quinn Ewers threw the ball 35 times today. And, like, Jim Harbaugh doesn't want to do that.
Yeah. He doesn't want to do that at all.
Like, even last year, when in the semifinal loss to TCU, a 51-45 game, J.J. McCarthy threw 34 passes. That's not, like, that many for a shootout.
Yeah.
They just don't want to play that style of game. And yeah. I think they usually have, like, the defense and the ball control where they don't have to.
I'm also a bit worried about Jim Harbaugh looking up and seeing that mountain of Texas in the middle of their defensive line, sure, and going, we're going to climb it. Like, no, go round. Go round.
I like that you've turned him into Wreck-It Ralph.
He is. How is he not Wreck-It Ralph?
He's a slender Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But Michigan, I mean, like, I'm guessing FSU is the draw, a touchdown plus spread there. So,
yes.
I mean, not punching Michigan's ticket to the title game, but they're sitting very pretty.
And look, like, I think Florida State will. Florida State is maybe the team. I don't know. Texas has been good at this too, so I shouldn't necessarily say that. But I think Florida State is the team that has rolled with punches in some of the most interesting ways this season, both during the season and in games. Like, Florida State does a very, very good job of figuring out how do we get to the fourth quarter and make us look better and make you look worse. Like, they don't stumble to the, they'll stumble early. They don't stumble to the finish line that often. And I think that's valuable.
Okay. So these are all completely valid concerns. And I don't want to be the one who's just like, I see problems. No, because there's something very important about the potential field. If provided Rod Gilmore is not right, which is, again, something I can't entertain because sure, it would be damaging to my worldview.
But, theoretically
speaking. But if the field that might happen happens, we could get somebody new.
What are you talking about?
If we went with a field of undefeated conference champions,
mm-hmm,
all right, mm-hmm, we could very easily get, and boy, Michigan, this would be all yours, you could get a Michigan or a Washington national title.
Sure. Like,
those are 100% on the table, and that would be welcome relief.
A Texas national title has not happened in a long time either.
That's true. It's, like, been a minute.
Like, it's crazy to say, but of the ones you're talking about, Florida State is the most recent by far.
And that's still a decade.
And, like, all right, let's maybe close with this because I don't know how much time it deserves.
Idaho with the INT.
Yeah.
Is it a pick six? That's what I'm seeing in the chat.
I think I'm behind the chat.
You are behind
Something
me on.
Bad might have just happened to our boys.
Yes, we're getting a Idaho has scored an OT to go up 23-17. Unfortunately, they have just had the TD wiped off the board by an unsportsmanlike penalty. Oh, drama! God.
Come on.
I told you the refs were having a shit weekend. For those who have asked, and I think we should have brought this up earlier, Holly is on, not feeling the best. That's why you haven't heard her. Yes, again, send blood. We always want your blood. Never turn down blood. There has been a lot of television speculation that Florida State's going to get left out. And I think Jason has probably the smartest take of this on this that I have seen about like how the committee will think about this. And so I wanted Jason to ask you a little bit about like to sort of lay that out, that case out a little bit for why you don't think that's going to happen, despite Florida State admittedly looking like fairly limited in their win against Louisville.
So, I mean, you can argue like, okay, they're undefeated. And you can take the argument seriously, right? You can say, okay, they both played LSU, and FSU beat LSU by more than Bama did, right? Like you can play the game and do all the data points and stuff, or you could just say which would feel more embarrassing if it went wrong. If you leave out Bama and they go on and they win the Orange Bowl and they're 13-1 and they pout about it. Okay, no one cares. There's not a whole like who cares unless the title game sucks or something. No one cares about a 13-1 Bama that feels like it got snubbed. If you leave out undefeated FSU that has like, you know, also an inspirational story, like you didn't give the backup quarterback a chance, right? And they go win the Orange Bowl to finish 14-0. You've made the whole playoff look stupid. Like if FSU wants to go claim a title, it's not going to be the same as when UCF did. It's not going to be, you know, a sideshow punchline. And I want to emphasize UCF claiming a title was fine. But like if FSU went to do that, it would make you look stupid.
Right.
And nobody likes to look stupid, especially not, you know, people in suits who sit around in hotel rooms all day for photographs.
Yeah.
So.
I think, yeah. I like hearing it again. Yeah, I think that's right. And it's, you can't point to like, oh, well, the AC, it, like, and people are saying like Florida State wouldn't beat Georgia. That's
right,
fine.
So,
that's totally fine.
FSU wouldn't beat Georgia. So it would be a 10-point spread. Have we seen any 10-point upsets this weekend? We have.
Yeah. Like, also, like,
it's college football.
Yeah. Do you build any sort of prospective playoff on wood? No. Like, that's not what we do. You only look at what is.
Like,
right.
Every other playoff, frankly, in almost any sport, in almost any team sport, allows for the possibility that you can get in without being quote-unquote good, without having a, like, strong chance to win the national title. I'm not saying that's true about Florida State, but if you take like, the most negative view of them at this point, like, we have let sub-500 teams get into the NFL playoffs. We have let wild card teams do massive damage against teams that win 100 games in baseball. Like, I just we've talked about this before. I just don't think it's that big of a deal. And yeah, like, if ultimately it means no SEC teams in, I kind of would like us to get back to, I hope that Bama fans can get back to a place where, like, just winning the SEC title is fucking awesome.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I feel like this one, they might come around to it and realize, like, even, like, everyone wrote them off in week three.
Yes.
Yeah, like, the USF game.
This is an incredible Bama season. Yes. It is. Jalen Milroe is an absolute, like, I am going to remember this Bama season very, very, very fondly.
You had a, like, amazing highlight win over Auburn. We don't know what the voting is. You potentially beat the Heisman Trophy winner. You ended Georgia's 29-game winning streak and kept them from winning 3 titles in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You did a lot of cool shit.
There's a decent chance your only loss was to the national champ. Like,
yeah.
This is an incredible season. And the SEC's not making the playoff. Both of those things can be fine at once.
Do any of you, because I don't know if Holly wants to play in here, do you feel like the other thing I've heard is that if you don't let Bama in, teams aren't going to schedule out of conference anymore. They're just going to say there's no point. Like, we'll just take our unimpressive, you know, We'll do what Michigan did this year. Granted, a lot of Michigan's out-of-conference schedule ended up being better than I think anybody thought it would between UNLV and Bowling Green, but certainly wasn't on paper an aggressive scheduling place.
So, like, there is an easy counter to this is Texas scheduled tough. They scheduled Bama. They beat Bama.
Yeah.
FSU scheduled LSU in Florida. It's not FSU's fault that Florida sucks. The teams that are in that. Scheduled tough.
Go Gators.
Like we're talking about three bubble teams, all three of them scheduled a tough non-conference. Right.
Washington scheduled Michigan State. It's certainly not their fault that Michigan State
sucks. So like Bama can pout about, well, we should have played Charleston Southern twice or whatever.
Right.
But you should have beaten Texas. That's it. That 100% beginning, middle, and end of the argument. Texas is being rewarded for scheduling tough.
I'm seeing in the chat that the Vandals have won on a walk-off field goal.
Goddamn right.
Big Sky.
Big Sky for fucking ever. Big Sky, Sun Belt, everyone else.
Where you can look up and see the Big Sky once you walk out of the Kibbe Dome, which is indoors.
The sky's so big, we can see it from the inside.
Yeah, that's right. They sent that kick straight to the cameraman who's got a soccer goal net strung in front of him so he doesn't get hit by the ball. Best building in college football.
That's right.
You should be the Vandals, by the way, should be allowed to burn the Kibbe Dome down after every season as a
like
ceremony and rebuild it.
like the goat?
Yeah.
Like Midsommar.
They should. Exactly. They should burn the Kibbe Dome down and be like, now we build a new one for the next season. Yes.
That's our like off season activity, our team building activity.
That is, that's our team building. We build a new Kibbe Dome.
They don't fix the dimensions at all. The wall is still the wall is still in the end zone.
No. I'm sorry. The gods have deemed that these dimensions are perfect and heavenly.
It's just like Noah's Ark. Yes.
It must be.
It's very
be
specific
followed.
Numbers of cubits.
That's right. Yeah. What? Inch? I'm sorry. My
what
divine ears don't
that?
Understand that. Yeah.
What the fuck is an inch? Get that shit out. You're in Moscow, Idaho, pal. We do have a lot of weird religious ideas around here.
You get that heresy out of here. I need nothing but the holy cubit to build me a new arena.
This is Orthodox.
Doug Wilson says there has to be rafters in the end zone.
This is Orthodox football, and you're going to respect it.
Yeah. That's the wrong shade of industrial gray. Bring me back some fucking industrial gray paint. This is the Kibbe Dome. It's kind of got to look like a dentist's office in 1993.
Lowercase O Orthodox, to be clear.
Yeah.
I feel bad for whoever. Again, they're making the playoff because Rod said so. I feel bad for whoever Georgia plays in a non-playoff game. They're going to be so mad.
I don't know. Last time that happened, Texas won.
So I have
no. The last time that happened, they beat Cincinnati.
Oh, so it wasn't a game.
Without looking things up, I'm trying to do in my head. The Orange Bowl will be Bama Louisville.
Okay.
And then, fellas, I think we get Georgia, Ohio State in a.
Where does the Peach Bowl? The Peach Bowl has to take the G5 team, right?
Peach or Fiesta, I believe.
Okay.
I'm doing this all napkin math back in my head. Yeah. I haven't done this shit all year.
Because I think Georgia Liberty is on the table.
Oh my fucking god! Ugh. Disgusting.
Just Kirby's speech for that game. Yeah. They think they got God on their side. That's fine. That's fine.
I want you to punch God in the dick.
Just Kirby trying to satisfy like the demands that his heart, his broken life has placed upon him. Where he's like, all I have is football.
Satan rose up against God and he failed. We're going to finish the job.
Yeah.
You know who, they don't believe in you. Well, we don't believe in God.
I want you to take their faith, and I want you to punch it in the fucking ass.
A militant atheist Kirby Smart.
Sweaty goth Kirby Smart.
Kirby Smart making like Neil deGrasse Tyson smarmy jokes about flying spaghetti monster and shit.
You tell them to bow before who they serve. You're about to get what you deserve.
You tell him Big Sky Daddy's going to get as I'm his daddy.
He's going to get a spanking.
I'm gonna spank God right in his ass.
So this has been the Fullcast After Dark.
That's your Peach Bowl preview, folks. Boy, Chick-fil-A would love Liberty, wouldn't they?
Man, listen, boy. If UGA plays Liberty, man, it's go dogs. Go dogs.
Oh,
woof, woof, woof.
Brother, I'm barking.
Yeah. I might do a little barking myself.
Are we going to, like, I don't know. Some people have asked, you may see more full casts after dark during bull season. We reserve the right to do them or not do them. That seems fair, right?
Sure.
Yes.
We won't, but yes, we will.
Also, Henry Kissinger died.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Listen, man, Georgia lost, Henry Kissinger died. It's been a week. It's been a week.
Are the two related? Who's to say?
Who's to say? Yeah, I don't know.
Two tyrants downed?
Yeah, exactly. I want you to take Henry Kissinger. I want you to make his ass quit.
Make his ass quit. Somebody said blood week. Yeah. Blood week. Henry Kissinger is finally extinguished.
Yeah.
Do not send him your blood.
No. He can't use it anymore.
He doesn't deserve it, mainly.
Well, yeah.
Six one, half dozen the other.
Yes, if you have been along for the ride here and are still with us at 1:18 a.m. either.
Oh, Henry Kissinger didn't get to see The Undertaker at the Big 12 title game.
Oh, no.
Sucks to suck.
He didn't get to see Nelly.
Yeah.
He loves that song. Somebody pointed out how winded Nelly looked. Like, yeah, he's 45 or something.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't get to boo Brett Yormark, which would have, you know, sounded like boo.
I boo Brett Yormark.
He's like Frankenstein's monster.
He is Frankenstein's monster.
He is now.
Yeah. Man, imagine you're digging up parts of Frankenstein's monster. You're like, fuck, is this Henry Kissinger? Don't use this shit. Oh, God.
Oh, I got the hair. Yep, it is.
Yeah. Oh.
It definitely is.
Do you know he had a tattoo? It's fucked up.
It was of Nelly.
Oh, yeah, my God. Nelly. Someone point out the Pac-12 outlasted Henry Kissinger.
That's right.
Goddamn right.
All right, Spencer, do you want to thank the people?
I do want to thank the people.
Oh, wait.
Oh, no.
Wait. The 2016 Music City Bowl was the last Nebraska bowl game Henry Kissinger saw.
Mm. Well, I'm sure he savored it.
Please go ahead.
Yeah. By the way, Clarence Thomas is 75. You're on the clock.
Wow. Next man up.
Next man up.
Wow.
Come on. Yeah. Listen, hypertension's a program on the rise. It's capable of doing good things.
Jesus Christ. Right.
James Dobson's next on my list, but
is he?
Y'all okay. Already know that.
All right, so we've got. Thank you for riding with us either the entire season. If tonight is your first one, boy, what a unique treasure you just stumbled on.
Sorry to the one dude who bailed. Sorry that it sucked.
Yeah, sorry, Mike Jones.
If only you had told us week one, we could have gotten better. But you waited until this week. You left your
notes until the end. Never do
lazy
that.
Lazy ass, Mike Jones.
You're a bad editor, yeah. Mike Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, COVID. Thank you, COVID Rhodes, for saying who. Thank you to all the following people in the chat who either listening via, goddamn, I can't believe we did this, LinkedIn, Twitch.
Somebody's LinkedIn name is Cucaracha Delgado.
It's firm.
They've been a strong commenter tonight, too.
Yeah, well done, all. Green Power Van, TV's Ron Burgundy, John Sequitur, Mon Goggle. Not Duck, Beware the Cows, Shake Djibouti, Master of Beat, Beast 97, Sky on Air, and boy, these are flying like crazy. Thank you all for making this a delightful sleep-deprived endeavor that, I don't know, I've enjoyed thoroughly and that we will undoubtedly...
George is in the playoff!
Rod Gilmore can't be wrong. Or God's not real. Good night!
Rod's not dead.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy, but being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today to get 10% off your first month.